You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good afternoon, everybody. Now 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. I'm Todd Albaugh at the Civic Media News Center, world headquarters in downtown Madison, with a special report at this hour. We continue to follow the breaking news of the day. Following two major stories at this hour for you. First, according to DesertNews.com, a publication from Utah, being confirmed by other sites as well. Here is what we know. Charlie Kirk, the founder of the conservative organization, outspoken person on conservative issues as well, was shot earlier today. He is the founder of Turning Points USA, shot at an event in Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. Desert News reporters on the scene report seeing Kirk shot during a Q&A with students. About 2 minutes into the interview, shots were heard, or a shot was heard, and Kirk appeared to be hit in what looked to be the neck, according to reporters on the scene. Now, initially, it was believed that a shooter was in custody, but Desert News was told by officials the status of the shooter is unclear. The campus has been evacuated. Stepping away from the story, incorporating other sources, it appears that there is a person of interest in custody, but what is unconfirmed at this hour, whether that suspect is the actual alleged shooter. Very fluid situation. Want to make sure that we're passing on the most accurate information as we have it up to the minute. According to Desert News, at least 60 first responder vehicles were blocking the campus entrance in Utah at this hour. Quote, a single shot was fired on campus toward a visiting speaker. Police are investigating now, suspect in custody, unquote. That is from the University of Police there at the university in Utah. Again, Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. The condition of Charlie Kirk has not been confirmed at this hour, although the executive director of Turning Points USA was quoted as saying, quote, it does not look good, unquote. But want to be very careful, only report what we know based on the legitimate information that we are seeing, and that is what we know at this hour. Some reaction to Wisconsin lawmakers at this hour. This is being reported by Channel 3000, WISC, the CBS affiliate here in Madison. In his post on social media site X, formerly known as Twitter, Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson asked his supporters to pray for Kirk, his family, and his team. United States Senator Tammy Baldwin also reacted to the shooting on an X post. Senator Baldwin saying, quote, there is no two ways about this. Political violence has no place in America. I'm keeping Charlie and his family in my thoughts in this truly horrifying moment, unquote. U.S. Representative Derek Van Orten said he was, quote, praying fervently, unquote, for Kirk in his family. Went on to say some hyper-partisan things as well. I'm going to skip over right now. United States Congressman Scott Fitzgerald said he was, quote, unquote, horrified to learn of the shooting, saying, quote, my prayers are with Charlie and his family. Political violence has no place in America ever. And U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany asked supporters to join him in praying for Kirk and the students of Utah Valley University. U.S. Representative Mark Pocan of Madison also responded to the shooting with a post on X. Congressman Pocan saying, quote, political violence is never acceptable. Gun violence is never acceptable. Never. Unquote. We will continue to follow this breaking story again at this hour. What we know for sure is that the founder of Turning Points USA, conservative activist Charlie Kirk, has been shot in Utah with what appears to be a singular shot. A suspect is in custody. However, new reporting suggests that it is unknown whether that suspect actually was the alleged shooter. It remains to be a fluid situation. The Utah Valley University at Orem, Utah has been evacuated. And police and first responders are all over it there. There is a secondary shooting we continue to follow at this hour as well, and this time from the state of Colorado. According to CNN, at least three people have been shot at a Denver area high school, according to officials. Three people are in critical condition after a shooting at Evergreen High School in Evergreen, Colorado, according to St. Anthony's Hospital. At least two of the victims are students, according to the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office. Evergreen is located roughly 28 miles southwest from Denver. The school has been placed on lockdown, according to Jefferson County Public Schools in Colorado, which is urging people to stay away from the area as law enforcement responds. Again, that is at Evergreen High School in Evergreen, Colorado. We'll continue to follow this story as well as the Charlie Kirk story through the rest of our upcoming program and on Civic Media, ABC, and CBS News as well. For now, at 11 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock, I'm Todd Allball reporting for Civic Media News.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbar Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbar.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 12 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 10th, 2025. We're going the normal upbeat opening this hour, simply not appropriate given the breaking news, as you just heard. I went through that on that special report. We'll continue to follow both the shooting of Charlie Kirk in Oregon, Utah today, as well as another school shooting in Colorado. At least three people are in critical condition in Evergreen, Colorado at this hour. Before we get into other news coming up, by the way, at the bottom of this hour, Wisconsin news for you. David Crowley, Milwaukee County executive, announcing yesterday he is the latest to get into the race for Wisconsin governor on the Democratic side. He joined Pat Kreitlow on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow this morning and is going to be our guest at the bottom of this hour. Learning more about County Executive Crowley and his race for Wisconsin governor. Let's go to the phone lines. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Joe, listening on WMDX here in Madison. Joe, always appreciate your perspective on yet another disturbing day.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment before I make my remarks that every gun death in my mind is an incredible tragedy and is awful. It's an awful situation.
Agreed.
And I support reasonable gun control. I grew up with a father who collected guns, and I feel that reasonable gun control is a very reasonable way to go. Charlie Kirk was not in that same place. Here is an article from Newsweek, April 6, 2023, and he was giving remarks 1 week after three children and three adults were killed at the Christian Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee. That Nashville mass shooting was the 130th mass shooting in the United States in 2023. Charlie Kirk's response on this was, "It's worth to have a cost of unfortunately some gun deaths every year so that we can have a Second Amendment." He continued by saying, "I think it's worth it to have a cost, unfortunately, of some gun deaths every year so we can have a Second Amendment to protect our other God-given rights. It's a prudent deal. It is rational." I'm sorry that his family is in this situation, that he's in this situation, but perhaps people need to offer more, especially from the conservative side, than thoughts and prayers. I mean, I think I speak for a lot of Americans by saying kind of done with it, you know, really kind of done with it. And I know that there's a lot of attention being put on Charlie Kirk, but let's put the same amount of attention on these three high schoolers who I'm sure had no intention of being in the political sphere and having and suffering gun deaths. How about the kids that were shot up in Minnesota? I just You know, sooner or later, you just have to say, this isn't working. And to say that this is the price of liberty is absurd. Other countries have guns and they don't have this situation. We have to look at responsible gun control. And Charlie Kirk didn't want to. I'm so sorry for him and his family. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Appreciate perspective, Joe, as always. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. And kind of balancing for myself right now the line of doing these special reports and more of a news anchor role, if you will. And whenever I'm in that situation, I try to put my own personal views aside and just report the news as we know it. But it also happens to occur in the middle of my daily show where I do offer perspectives and do offer my thoughts and encourage discussion from all sides. I tend to agree with Joe. You know, as a gun owner, still hunt occasionally for pheasant and turkey. But I also, and I've said on this program before, favor reasonable gun reforms such as red flag laws and waiting periods. I wish we could go back to the old assault weapons ban. I just don't see the need for that. But to Joe's point, it's going to be, and it's so tough to talk about this when we're in it, right? Because Charlie Kirk does have family, and whether he survives or not, it's going to impact all of them. These three kids, and another developing story in Colorado. But Charlie Kirk has family too, and friends. But it's going to be, if I remove myself from the humanity of it for a minute, it'll be interesting and fascinating to see how the right reacts. Once now that one of their own, just like when President Trump was shot during the campaign, how they react to this. And unfortunately, in my opinion, how they react is also going to be determined partly on who ultimately ends up being identified and charged and convicted as the shooter. And we're going to have a whole conversation around that. Not me personally, but the country. I was reminded over the break, our great director of operations, Luke Mathers, and Trigby and Pat Kreitlow, and again, thank you for them for being on the show in the first set. We talked about this. I forgot to mention it, so I appreciate Luke bringing it up because I think it's a really, really important point today. We don't have to go on social media today. We don't all have to offer our takes on our socials. And we don't all have to go on and watch this, which apparently is already, you know, blowing up, probably a bad choice of words, but it's what they say in social media, it's blowing up all over social media, very graphic video of this action. We don't have to watch that. And sometimes the best take, in my opinion, is no take, at least for a beat. Give ourselves a beat. Let's find out what really happened. Let's find out the truth and then offer takes. And that's not to say that our callers or our texters aren't entitled to their, look, this show largely exists around people's takes, my own and yours. But I think it's just a good reminder, particularly on social media, that we don't have to be consumed by all of this today. Our mental health, for one thing. All right, come on back. May talk a little Packers, maybe to turn a page for a moment. And then David Crowley at the bottom of the hour. Milwaukee County executive is running for governor. We'll talk to him as well. Stay tuned. Breaking news continues. It's the All Ball Show in Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Yeah, freedom. pursuing truth wherever it may lead. And not so much fun on a Wednesday afternoon. 22 now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Glad to have you along. We'll continue to follow the breaking news of the shooting of Charlie Kirk. His exact condition yet unknown at this hour. A suspect in custody, although they do not know. It is not confirmed whether that is the alleged shooter. And now three people shot at a Denver school this afternoon in Evergreen, Colorado, that continues to remain a fluid situation at this hour. We'll bring you updates as they become available. Also, after the bottom of the hour, after the farm news, we're going to have David Crowley here, Milwaukee County Executive, the newest gubernatorial candidate on the Democratic side. Looking forward to a discussion with him. Zomers, let's turn a page just for a moment, if we can. I think we need a, as Jane Matinair might say, a little a palate cleanser, a little bit,
just something like that,
to take our mind off of the events of the day, just for a moment at least. This from PBS Wisconsin. You want to know about one of the many reasons I love PBS Wisconsin? Here you go. They have a section called Wisconsin Life, and something called Game Day, and this is fantastic. They interviewed one of the longtime Green Bay Packer field manager, Alan Johnson, on what it takes to get Lambeau Field ready. Of course, Packers got a big win over the weekend on Sunday against the Detroit Lions, and quick turnaround as the Packers have to play tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football against the Washington Commanders. Take a couple minutes here of this great piece by PBS Wisconsin on the Green Bay Packers field manager, Alan Johnson.
Welcome to game day at Lambeau Field. There's a sea of fans, a few bands, and tailgating as far as the eye can see. But before any fans come marching in, it's game on for Alan Johnson.
I tell people all the time, I'm a farmer, and I'm growing a crop. Just happens to be for a football team.
Alan is the Green Bay Packers field manager. He's responsible for one of the most iconic pieces of sports turf in America.
You think about what you do is seen for 3 hours on TV by millions of people, so there's a lot of pressure. It's best not to think about it.
All right, come on.
There's a lot fans might not think about when it comes to this homegrown Packers pasture.
The big day is the day before. Me and my crew are painting the field and getting it ready.
The field crew paints every letter, every NFL logo, and every hash mark every week the Packers play at home. Despite using 145 gallons of paint, their artwork doesn't last long on this canvas that stretches the length of a football field. It takes a five-man crew an entire day to repaint perfection, and each season that canvas is new.
Every spring on Lambeau Field, we actually kill off the grass and remove it mechanically with a machine, then we have to grow that back in from seed. If we let the grass get too mature and too thick, it'll be harder for those cleats to break through that grass canopy and sink in where the good footing is.
Another little known fact, Lambeau Field is based on a synthetic and natural turf perfected overseas.
All the soccer in Europe, the soccer fields in the Premier League are this type of system. They're a high-performing field. We are the only field with this type of system. Everything is dictated by the weather. Because it's sand, you got to pay attention to the water. We have another technology that we utilize, and it really came in handy when we expanded to the south part of the stadium. They're grow lights, and we fold the arms out, and it helps extend our growing season. We are unique in the sense that we are a natural grass field, probably the northernmost in latitude.
There you go. There's a little bit of, we'll leave it there. It's a little bit longer of it if you go to PBS Wisconsin. Great interview there by PBS Wisconsin with Alan Johnson, the Green Bay Packers field manager. And until I heard that, I'd kind of forgotten that, you know, more recently the turf went from all natural grass into the semi-artificial. There's some turf, artificial turf, but there's also dirt in it, and there's real grass mixed in as well, and there's heaters underneath, and they bring lights in on top. I mean, it is a true sophisticated deal on there with the Lambeau Field. So I think when we turn on the game on Sundays or Thursdays, whatever it might be, or you listen hopefully on the Civic Media Radio Network and our Packer affiliates, you don't think about what it takes to actually create the turf and keep things up. So really interesting. Again, you can find that, all that interview, at PBS Wisconsin, spelled out Wisconsin, PBSWisconsin.org. We thank them for that great reporting. A quick update for you, and many thanks to Jacob here at Civic Media, because you get reading things quickly, and you want to make sure we get things right here. One of the main sources for this tragic shooting out in Utah today of Charlie Kirk, the Turning Point's founder. The correct pronunciation is Deseret News. I think I was pronouncing it Desert News. My apologies, and thanks for Jacob for correcting me on that. But it's DeseretNews.com. Again, Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Points USA, conservative, shot in the neck. Reportedly, his exact condition is unknown, although the executive of Turning Points USA says, quote unquote, it does not look good at this hour. A suspect is in custody. It is unknown whether that suspect is the actual shooter at this hour. And also going on, Evergreen High School in Evergreen, Colorado, according to St. Anthony's Hospital there, at least three people have been shot in a Denver area high school shooting this afternoon. So it is a fluid situation, to say the best. New reporting at this hour, the initial suspect has now been released. Thank you, Zomers, for that update. That is according to the Associated Press, CNN, the BBC, and others. So now, according to those sources, the initial suspect has been released, which means that the alleged gun person at this hour is still at large in Utah. We'll continue to follow this. We're going to take a look at farm news with Pam Yonke, Midwest Farm Report, turn a page, come back and talk with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley on his entry into the gubernatorial run here in the state of Wisconsin. Don't go anywhere. It's the Civic Media Radio Network across Wisconsin. Tallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, now 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 10th. Zomer is on the board. Glad to have you along. A quick update on our top breaking news story of the day. According to the Deseret.com, a publication from Utah, as well as other major publications and news sources around the country, the founder of TurningPoints.com, conservative commentator and activist Charlie Kirk, was shot earlier this afternoon at an event at Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. On-site witnesses, including reporters, confirmed that Kirk was shot in what appeared to be the neck area. His exact status is unknown at this time. We understand there are differing reports out on socials right now, but we are going to stick with the facts as we know them, that Charlie Kirk's status is unknown. There had been an arrest, according to University of Police, of a suspect, according now to the Associated Press and others. That suspect has been released. Therefore, it remains a fluid situation that the alleged shooter is still at large there in Utah. And quickly, at least three people are confirmed shot and injured at a Denver area high school this afternoon in Evergreen High School in Colorado, according to St. Anthony's Hospital. We'll continue to provide live updates on Civic Media throughout the afternoon. 36 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. Let us turn a page and turn our attention to Wisconsin politics, a brand new entry into the governor's race here in the state on the Democratic side. Was not necessarily a surprise, nor was it unexpected if you followed what he said over the last few weeks. But David Crowley, Milwaukee County Executive, entered the race yesterday and joins us live from the great city of Milwaukee. County Executive Crowley, thank you so very much for being here on what has turned out to be a very difficult day news-wise.
Well, first and foremost, I just want to say thank you for having me. And before we really get started, I think we have to acknowledge, you know, my thoughts and prayers are not only with, you know, what happened in Denver, but also with Charlie Kirk. And so, you know, there's no reason why we have this level of hate or level of violence in our country. But we have to push back. have to push back against the level of political violence that we have seen increase across this country. You know, we may have our differences, and it, you know, but we have to agree to disagree. And we have to focus on how we can move forward together, because this is our state, this is our country, and we have to live in it and share it with one another. So my thoughts and prayers with everyone who has been affected and inflicted violence upon them.
Appreciate those thoughts on the breaking news today, County Executive Crowley. Let's turn a page just for a moment here, because that's why you're here. I appreciate you taking time to come on our program. And I know you're on with our colleague, Pat Kreitlow, on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow earlier this morning. As we say on this show, it's your first time here. So we on our show, we appreciate that. As we like to say, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and how you ended up into the public service sector.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was born and raised here in the city of Milwaukee, lifelong Wisconsinite, went to public schools my entire life and had great parents. But they both, you know, struggled with mental health or struggled with drug addiction. And when I was a junior in high school, you know, I had went through so much. You know, we were evicted three times before I graduated high school. There was a lot of housing instability. But it was an organization that literally saved my life called Urban Underground, youth organization that introduced me to community organizing. And working with nonprofits and grassroots organizations on the ground, you know, it translated to getting involved in politics. So in 2010, I decided to go work for Russ Feingold, traveling all across this state, helping to get him reelected. Then I had the opportunity to work for a county board supervisor, Nakia Dodd, who went on to be a state senator. Worked for a year and a half as a legislative aide, 4 years as the political director in her state Senate office. And then I got bit by that bug to actually run for office myself. And so in 2016, I was elected to represent the 17th Assembly District. I was also elected to be the chair of our Milwaukee delegation, as well as chair of our Black Legislative Caucus. And in 2019, I leaped before I looked and decided to get into this county exec's race. And I have been serving as the county executive, sworn in May 4th, 2020, and was reelected with 85% of the vote in 2024.
I find it interesting and fascinating as a person who is a kind of a political nut. You're Milwaukee's first Black county executive and the youngest mm-hmm. person to hold office. You're all of 39 right now, but mm-hmm. you're a rising political star in this state. And I think at a time when we have a lot of talk nationally and even at the state level about elder statespeople, shall we say, you bring a unique generational shift in a perspective.
You know, I do. And I appreciate you looking at me as a rising political star in this state. And it's one of the reasons why I got involved in wanting to run for governor. You know, we've been able to tackle many different issues across Milwaukee County. But what's been important is how we've created more partnerships. And, you know, we have to do that. If we want to move our community forward, if we want to move this state forward, it's about stepping outside our geographical comfort zone, being able to agree to disagree. But more importantly, just, you know, learning about one another. One of my favorite quotes is, no one cares what you know until they know how much you care. And, you know, being from an urban area, I've been introduced to rural areas as a kid. My father taking me to La Crosse and taking me all over the state, whether we're going fishing or going duck hunting. And so I have familiarity with rural communities, but this is a great opportunity to enter this race to continue to move our state forward.
So I come from Southwest Wisconsin, lived in Madison the better part of 20 plus years, but grew up out in Southwest Wisconsin. As my granddad might say to you, what do you say as you go around Wisconsin, County Executive David Crowley, and they look at you and say, so why do you want the job?
which is a great question. One, I think it's important to acknowledge that, you know, Governor Evers, he has been a great leader. He has led with a steady, calm strength here in the state of Wisconsin, leading us through the pandemic, helping to protect our democracy and protect, quite frankly, our working families from a lot of harm. You know, I spent 7 years in the state capitol, so I know how Madison works. And I've also gotten things done with a Republican-controlled legislature. And for the past 5 years, I've been leading the largest county in the state of Wisconsin, representing close to 1 million people, which is a sixth of our entire state's population, but also managing one of the largest budgets in the state with a $1.4 billion budget. And so since 2020, I've not only led our community through the pandemic, but we've tackled some of the toughest issues throughout the county: public health, public safety, fiscal recovery. We've invested in small businesses all across Milwaukee County. We've created more affordable housing options. We've made government more accessible. We've cut our carbon emissions in half, all while being able to deliver the largest property tax cut in Milwaukee County's history. And so I know that I am the only candidate with not only legislative experience, but I have experience actually running a government. So on day one, I'll be ready to hit the ground hard and hit the ground running. But I truly believe that the stakes are, quite frankly, they're too high, and we don't have any time to waste as Democrats.
We're talking to Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who is the latest to entry on the Democratic side in the race for Wisconsin governor. 90-second answers, if you can, or 1 minute, because I want to make sure we get a couple of things in here. Okay. But it's the clock. The first one, as you travel around the state, what are the top two, no more than three issues that are on Wisconsin voters' minds in this race for governor?
Well, it's about tackling this affordability crisis that so many folks are going through. You know, people are getting less even if they're making more. We need to provide them with some type of relief. And we have to acknowledge there's only so much that we can do with this economic chaos that's being inflicted on families under the Trump administration, but it doesn't mean that we can't help families move forward. I know what it's like to struggle, what it's like not to be able to pay your bills or put food on the table. And what we need to be focusing on is how do we create family-sustaining jobs, good jobs? How do we fully fund our public schools to make sure our young people, our kids are ready for the jobs of today and tomorrow, and just making things that much more affordable, whether we're talking about healthcare. But I'm looking forward to going across this state, you know, learning about the different issues, because there isn't a one size fits all to the solutions that affect every community in this state. And so I want to make sure that as we travel, those who have been impacted, that they are closest to the solutions that can fit their community. We need to right size these solutions for every community.
No, people that know you, I've watched you before. You're not someone who's afraid to tackle tough issues or tough questions. I'm just going to put it out there. You're a person who happens to be Black. I'm a person who happens to be gay. There are people in this race who happen to be women. I know my former party that I left in 2011 very well, and I know that they take those things that can be dividers against each other and manipulate that to win elections. We saw it last time against former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, where they darkened the pigment of his skin, exaggerated things, made up lies to beat him. Do you have a plan for politically inoculating yourself against those types of attacks? And if so, are you willing to share any of them with us?
Well, we are definitely going to be, you know, knocking down any of these attacks. But see, that's what the Republicans do. They want to distract and divide people because this is the only way that they can stay in power, because they're not bringing any substance to the table. You know, they will talk about me being from Milwaukee, me being Black, but that's not putting food on people's table. That's not making sure that they can afford their child care. And the issues that I've been working on here in Milwaukee, these aren't Democratic issues. These aren't Milwaukee issues. These are Wisconsin issues. And so I'm going to go across the entire state and look and let them know, let everybody know that I'm looking to be the governor for all of us. We can't allow these divisions to stop our entire state from moving forward. And so what we're going to focus on is the things that matter. We're going to focus on affordability. We're going to focus on housing. And I know that we're going to be able to get people in part of this campaign, not because of what we've done, but what I know we can do together. And so whether you're a Democrat, an independent, or Republican, I want folks to know that there is a place in this campaign for it.
Earlier today, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson endorsed you. There was some thought that you may both enter this race. His endorsement has to be huge for your campaign. There are two counties in a Democratic primary that could really, it comes out of three places, right? It's Milwaukee County, Dane County, and everybody else in a Democratic primary. It has to be a big feather in your campaign early on to get the mayor's endorsement.
It is. I truly appreciate the mayor's belief and inspiration in me for running for this seat. And I think it's no secret that I represent the largest Democratic community in the entire state of Wisconsin, which actually makes me uniquely positioned to bring more Democratic votes out of Milwaukee County. And we're not going to leave no stone unturned. So we're going to continue to travel across this state, and there are going to be more endorsements coming out tonight. And so just wait and see.
We'll stay tuned for that. Let me ask you quickly, ask to other people as well, how do you win a Democratic primary right now where you have a base, progressive base that really is, quote unquote, angry and wants Democrats to fight harder, they say? How do you win this primary, but not so far alienated to the left that you can't win a general?
Well, one, I think I bring, you know, experienced executive leadership, you know, to this race. And we also have to understand that, you know, they're always trying to put labels, but we do need a fighter. But it's not just about fighting against the policies that we see the Trump administration, and the fact that Wisconsin Republicans, they're literally carrying the president's water versus carrying the concerns of the people to the floor. And so the way that we win this race is we're going to talk to everybody. You know, I think that primaries are great for our democracy. It gives voters the opportunity to see the candidates. But whoever that Democratic nominee is, they're going to become that much more better because they went through this primary process. And so we're going to talk about what we've done for Milwaukee County. We're going to cut through all the distractions and divisions and talk about how we need to build a broader table. If we're going to win this race, right, we got to build a coalition, which means we got to unify our base, energize the people on the ground, bring new voices to the table, and figure out ways to bring independence back. And I know that we're going to be able to speak to all of those different categories of people.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, thank you very much for being here. Safe travels around the state of Wisconsin on your gubernatorial run. You have an open mic on this show anytime. We'd love to have you back as the campaign continues.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity, and I know I'll be back, Ty. I appreciate your work.
We appreciate you very much. David Crowley, Milwaukee County Executive, latest candidate for governor of the state of Wisconsin. Stay tuned. We have an update on breaking news of Charlie Kirk. We'll tell it to you when we come back. It's the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our stations you're listening to, a weather update, sports with Mike Clemens, and then another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. I anticipate that Maggie will continue to cover our breaking news at this hour, and we are going to give you an update right now. This, according to CNN and being confirmed by other sources, Charlie Kirk, the conservative political activist and co-founder of Turning Points USA, was killed this afternoon after being shot at an event in Utah Valley University. President Donald Trump wrote on Truth Social moments ago. He was 31 years old. As Trump remade the Republican Party, Kirk embodied the party's newfounded populist conservatism in the social media age. Kirk's involvement began in the wake of the Tea Party movement and grew with Trump's ascendance. Having co-founded Turning Point in 2012 at the age of 18, Kirk was a prominent supporter of Trump who courted young voters and used his network of nonprofits to seek to turn out voters on campuses and churches for Trump in 2024. Kirk was answering questions at an event this afternoon on a 14-city tour when a single pop was heard. Video taken by attendees shows the crowd screaming as Kirk recoils in his seat and appears to reach for his neck. Among those in attendance was former U.S. Representative Jason Chaffetz, a Utah Republican. He said earlier on Fox News he was at the event with his wife, daughter, and son-in-law. He said Kirk, quote, came out, he was throwing hats, riling up the crowd, unquote, and then started taking questions before being shot. Quote, I was watching Charlie. I can't say I saw blood. I can't say that I saw him get hit, but I did see him fall immediately backwards into his left, unquote. The American Comeback Tour had Kirk's signature Prove Me Wrong table, where Kirk would urge those who disagree with him to debate an issue. Trump has credited Kirk with galvanizing and mobilizing the youth vote for him. Kirk most recently appeared in the Oval Office in May, attending the swearing-in ceremony with Judge Jeanne Pirro. The president and dozens of Kirk's other allies, as well as Democrats who had sharp disagreements with him, posted well wishes and calls for prayers online. Kirk, an Illinois native, married in 2021. The couple have two young children. Again, according to a post by President Trump, Charlie Kirk has been killed this afternoon. He's been pronounced dead. Charlie Kirk was 31 years old. That, of course, in addition to the other story we are following this afternoon, breaking news out of Colorado, where at least three people, students, were injured in a shooting in Denver, Colorado, at Evergreen High School in Evergreen, Colorado. More than 100 law enforcement officers are working to clear that school, quote, room by room, as it remains on lockdown, officials said. No suspects are in custody, and authorities are working to determine whether there was one or multiple shooters involved there, according to police in Colorado. The tragedy in Colorado marks the 47th shooting that took place at a school in the United States so far this year, 24 of which were on college campuses and 23 on K-12 school grounds. Colorado's shooting took place less than an hour after conservative activist Charlie Kirk was shot, and now we have reports that he has been killed in Utah Valley University. Again, updating on the Charlie Kirk situation, there had been an arrest of a suspect in custody, but now it is reported by the Associated Press and other news sources that that suspect has been released. At this hour, it is unknown. It appears that the shooter in the Charlie Kirk shooting in Utah is still at large, and again, unknown in the Colorado shooting as well. The New York Times says that Kirk's spokesman has now confirmed that Charlie Kirk is dead, being confirmed as being reported by the New York Times. Tough day on the show. Never the things we want to talk about. And again, as we had discussions with Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olson on this show earlier, and appreciated the comments of Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. There has to be a point, in my opinion, when this country wants to truly reckon with these types of issues. And it's going, and again, to remove myself from the news portion of this as a commentator, now it's going to determine, it's going to come down to who was the shooter, what's their background, people point fingers, lay blame. But a good reminder that, again, none of us have to go on socials today. None of us have to watch this video that's out there. None of us have to comment on it today. Appreciate everybody involved on these. I have the honor and the privilege of being the person behind the mic in these situations, but it takes an entire team to bring the factual information to you. Want to thank our political editor here at Civic Media, Dan Schaefer, for staying on top of this and giving us information. Director of Operations, Luke Mathers, for being with us throughout the show, making sure that we get you accurate information. And there is no better live producer in this business than Aaron Zommers, who is doing yeoman's work on the board today. Pat Kreitlow of Mornings of Pat Kreitlow, Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project, and David Crowley, Milwaukee County Executive. Thank you to all of them and all of you for listening. Stay safe out there. Hug those that you love. And take time for your own mental health and get away from it. Maggie Dawn is next. Todd Allball saying, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.